All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, June 2nd of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a six-game MLB main slate getting ready to get underway in about a couple hours here. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. Let's get SaberSim pulled up here. We did have one question come in prior to the show, so we will start there and then kind of see where we go from there. So first one, I know this has been asked before, but I'm still going back between using unique rank and rank when sorting my lineups. Jordan advocates for unique rank to get as many shots as possible to speed up variance playing out. You have recommended fill by rank because ROI sort will give you the best lineups for each contest with fewer different shots. Is there any data to support which approach leads to more profitability in the long run? Thanks. Okay, good question. So, this idea of profitability, right? It's interesting because there's like a theoretical, like a idea, like a kind of way this works. Then there's like the practical application of it. So in theory, you would want to enter the highest ROI lineups into every contest at one unique and not change anything else, because over time, the highest ROI lineups win the most money, right? So in that case, you would actually want to use ROI and you would want to use rank, because you never want to skip a lineup simply because it was already played in another one. And you don't even want to diversify with uniques. You just want to play the highest ROI lineups, regardless how much leverage you have, regardless how much exposure to any one player, any one team, etc., right? That, in theory, will win the most money over the long term. Problem is, you know, even if we take, you know, one contest sim, right? Like, we run the contest sim 100,000 times. We're playing out the slate 100,000 times. I don't know how many years it's going to take you to play like 100,000 slates. Like, you're probably never, ever going to play that many slates, right? So that's where the difference between like, okay, like what's best in theory and then what's kind of best in practice kind of comes into play, right? Jordan is more taking the approach like, hey, I'm not going to play, you know, 100,000 slates. You know, I probably want to help smooth out my variance in the short term by diversifying more and trying to, you know, not have as heavy swings with my bankroll, with my results in the short term, right? You know, I do want to say, like, there is no right answer here. You know, Jordan's approach, totally fine. My approach, totally fine, right? It really just kind of like whatever serves, you know, your kind of like reasons for playing, serves your needs best, right? Do you want to, are you trying to go for like max profitability? Are you trying to just, you know, have a sweat and, you know, have some entertainment and have a little skin in the game, right? Like, everybody's reasons for playing are different. And we're more showing you your different options. And I think that, you know, you could look at Jordan, you could look at myself, like, we're both, you know, winning DFS players. And it just kind of goes to show that, like, there is no right answer and that there is more than one path to victory for sure, right? So you got to figure out whatever works best for you. You know, I'm sure you guys, you know, see my face like a lot more on the show. And I talk about like what I do. And like, you know, Jordan talks about like in his videos, which come out like a little bit more like infrequently. If what he's saying speaks more to you, then it is okay. you know, to do that thing, right? Like I might do one thing, he might do another thing, Chris might do another thing, Matt might do this other thing, right? Like, and it's all okay, right? We don't need to be, you know, robots all making the same exact decisions every day. It's, you know, when we get into that post build, right, it's a little bit of personalization. The method is in the post build, right? The unique rank versus the rank, that is a post build decision, right? We can tell you what we use and why we use it, but you got to figure out what works best for you. So those are my thoughts there. And just figure out, you know, what you want to do. So anyways, next question, is there a way to select single entry in SaberSim? So if you're playing a single entry, okay, there is no like selecting single entry per se, right? Big things here to note with SaberSim. The settings, okay, are all dependent on the number of games on the slate. So when I click this gear icon and I come in and I see my correlation and sim diversity, this is basically set based on the number of games. If I go and look at like a 12 game slate, I was looking at like yesterday, day before, it's like, it was like 10-7. I might go and look at like a smaller slate, like 3-4 games. It might be on like 6-8, right? These change based on that. We don't change it based on the number of entries in your contest, okay? Or however many entries you're playing. That gets handled in a different part of the app at a different point, right? So let's just like build some lineups. So say I'm building 500 lineups, right? Okay, I'm going to kick this off. So while this builds or at some point during, you know, your time using the app, I would go over to the contest tab. And then let's say you're playing a single entry, right? Okay. First thing you want to do is get your entry file into SaberSim. So you click the upload entries. As long as you're signed in to DraftKings or whatever site you're playing on the same browser as the one you're using, you can use this download button and drag and drop your file in. Okay. And then you're going to get like a list of contests that you're playing. So it'll look like this. It'll be highlighted green. It'll be white showing you, hey, this is your contest. We always have a default one chosen here so people can just run the contest sims and get a feel for the slate. But if you upload a file, this will update. Okay. So let's switch this. Let's say you're playing the $25 single entry, right? I enable this one. The other one goes away. Okay. I'm playing this $25 single entry. It'll look exactly like this if you upload your file. All right. Go over to my build where we already kicked off the lineups. So two things with this, right? Number one is if you are using starter, then you want to select the right Saber score, okay? So what I would want to do is I would want to note how many entries are in my contest. So here there's 705, right? Okay, I'm going to remember that 705 number. And then I'm going to go back to my build. And I'm going to talk, the whole time I do this, I'm going to talk ultimate, I'm going to talk starter, okay? We're going to kind of bounce back and forth. All right, so my Saber score is chosen right now. And notice that it defaults to large slate, okay? Always let SaberSim determine the large slate versus small slate. Just so you guys know, single game is one game, small slate is 2 to 5 games, and then large slate is 6 or more. So this slate has 6 games, therefore it is a large slate. However, we need to change the second part. This is the number of entrants in your contest. This is the differentiation between the big contest, the little contest. We're not so concerned about the number of entries as much as we are concerned about how many entries there are in your contest. So I go to Saber score. I'm going to go to large slate 100 to 1000. Okay. So I switch my Saber score. Okay. It's going to reanalyze my lineups and then it's going to resort them as needed. Okay. And it looks like the top lineup is like still the top lineup here. So that's fine. So we come back. And, you know, let's say we're looking for one lineup, right? And then now we would basically like, hey, do we want to take the top lineup? Maybe we don't like a pitcher. Maybe we don't like a hitter. You know, there's a number of personalization things that you can do at this point. Maybe I like this lineup, but you know what? I really don't like this 8-hitter one-off for the Angels. I could do a couple things, right? I could go in and I could just change him. You know, I could use the pencil. Okay, get rid of Renjifo, and then I go and I pick some other person. Maybe I pick Max Muncy because he's been batting really good, right? And then I save that, And then now I have like Dustin May, Max Muncy, a little correlation there. And I like this lineup a lot more, right? So you could use the pencil icon. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it would be, let's go back to Renhifo real quick. Okay, let's take Muncy out. And let's just go by salary. So he's 26. Okay, there he is. All right, so now we're going back to the original lineup. That looked like this. And you're like, you know what? You know, there's just a couple pieces about this lineup I don't like. Okay, I go to the Renhifo max exposure, and I go put a zero there, and then I click apply. And then Saberson's going to give me a new lineup, right? I go from number one to number two, yeah? And then I go, and like maybe I like this lineup more. This is one way you do it. Another way, you can just go into your pool, click this drop down, go to pool. And maybe I just want to look at like some of the top lineups and then I want to go through here. And then I want to find one that speaks to me, right? And maybe it ends up being lineup five. Maybe I really wanted to play Boston for whatever reason. Click the lock icon. What this does is it prioritizes that lineup above all others. And then now I go back to my lineups. And now the Boston lineup is my top lineup. I can save this and then use that lineup, right? So those are like how I would primarily be using SaberSim to build single entries, okay, on Starter. Now, when it comes to Ultimate, right, we are going to be taking into account the single entry aspect of this contest through the sim settings and the details of this contest, right? So we understand, hey, this contest has exactly 705 entries. The percent to first is 10%. We're taking in the exact payout structure, and then we're also taking in the number of entries in this contest. So the reason the entries aren't shown, it would say one, is because we don't have our file uploaded. When you upload your file, we basically count how many entries you have per contest. Here, the builder doesn't know, so I have to tell it. But I was saying, hey, you know, we have a one entry in this contest, right? And then let's say though that we're playing a 150 max. This is a little easier demo here, like kind of makes more sense, the differences here, right? So let's say I'm okay, this is how many entries, this is the payout structure, but maybe I'm only entering 20 lineups into this contest that allows 150, right? That's gonna matter in the contest sim, because basically when we run the contest sim, we're taking your pool and we're taking out groups of lineups in your pool and putting them into the contest sim together. So we're randomly taking 20 out of 500, playing it out. And then we take another random 20, another random 20. And we do that 100,000 times, right? So all of that gets smoothed out just because the sample size is so big. Like all the lineups get used a similar number of times. But what happens is that the self-competitiveness of the lineups gets taken into account really, really well with grouping your lineups together, okay? So here, for our single entry example, right, it would just be, or actually, let's go back to the 25. So we go back to the 25. Okay, it has one, right? We go to our build. And then I would run the contest sim, right? So click the green run contest sim button up here. We're just going to let this finish. So when it finishes, it's going to switch here to ROI. Okay. I'm going to switch mine manually just due to like a technical thing. So then now it still has that locked lineup. So I got to turn this guy off. And then now this is my top lineup now. Okay, this is my number one lineup for the ROI for this single entry contest. And then I can do the same exact things, right? I could use the pencil and change out one player. I can zero out a certain player's max exposure. I could go to my pool and look at the top lineups and figure out which one I want to use, right? There's all those steps are different, but the way that we get to this point very slightly, and I just wanted to kind of display like, hey, for a single entry for Starter, you should focus on these things, and it's changing your Saber score, right? And then for the Ultimate, hey, the contest sim takes it into account with the payout structure and the user entries. So just kind of highlighting some of those differences, but showing how it works on all plans. All right, good stuff there. Next question. How do you go about not leaving gaps in batting order? Are gaps negative to build lineups with? Good question. So we do not have a batter gap stack function. Okay. And the main reason is that we think it actually hurts your lineups more than helps them. So what we do, right, is we are simulating the games at bat by at bat, and we are understanding how well players are correlated to other players on their team. Okay. So what this will look like, and let me just do a hard refresh real quick. And I'm just going to take the highest team total of the day, which I think is Detroit. Looks like it. Okay, so we go to Detroit, and then I click on Parker Meadows, our number one hitter, right? Okay, and then I can go and look at all the players that he's correlated to, okay? Notice, typically, his highest correlations are to the batters that are closest to him in the order, right? Parker Meadows is batting first. Gleyber Torres is batting second. Trey Sweeney is batting ninth, right? So it's like one back, one forward. Dylan Dingler and Zach McKinstry are close, not perfect, right? McKinstry's batting seventh. He's 0.12. Dingler is eighth. He's 0.11. So, you know, it varies a little bit, right? But, I mean, we can see like, hey, a person that he's really far away from in the middle of the order, Torkelson and Colt Keith, who are batting fifth and sixth, have, you know, lower correlation than the players that are closest to him. And the correlation varies by about 0.05. Okay. So we take it into account this way. I personally think oddly stacking teams is a really good way of getting different. And, you know, even if like we just look at this like lineup right here, right? We have a 1-3-4-5-8 stack, right? Some people might not like that eight hitter. But I mean, when we look at like some of the ownerships of these players, right, they're mostly double digit. It looks like Parker Meadows got announced starting and we haven't run ownership for that yet. But, you know, having that combination of players, not just having players that are all, you know, top six in the order or really close in like, you know, 1-3-5-6 or something like that. I don't know. I think it's a way of getting access to a high team total team, but in a different kind of lineup construction. And I think that helps with lineup differentiation because you're getting exposure to that good hitting spot, the good hitting team, but maybe people aren't using them the way you are. So that's my thoughts there, but there is not a way to do that at the moment. So I think that covers actually two persons' questions. That covers Cam and Adam here. Realist said, thank you so much. You're welcome. Chokeholdem said, I watched your video the other day. Would you cut the 10 to 20% of your lowest projected lineups in MLB like you told me to do for NBA? Should I filter any other metrics like Saber score or just ROI? Good question. So ultimate question. I think it's really good to do an ROI filter, right? Just that way, once you start to make changes, you know, like let's say we're building 20 lineups, right? Okay, and then here, we'll do something. So 20 lineups. Say I put on like an average ROI. Let's get rid of the salary one. And then maybe a minimum ROI, right? I kind of want to show this off. So, okay, so maybe I don't have the minimum one on, right? I always kind of say, hey, average projection, average ROI, right? Well, I'm going to use a minimum one just to kind of show this off. What if I start building, right? And I am increasing my min uniques and I'm increasing my min uniques. And maybe I decide seven's a good number. And maybe I'm not looking at minimum, right? I just have these two, average projection, average ROI. I'm like, okay, you know, 16% average ROI. It's still positive. That's a good number. You know, I kind of like that, right? Well, when I add in my minimum and you actually go and look at it, there is a negative 2.6% lineup sneaking into my top 20, probably because I've went so high with my min uniques, right? The ROI filter guards against this happening. You know, when you come in here and you have this filter, that says, hey, show me lineups with ROI greater than zero. It just removes those lineups and doesn't even make them a possibility. And then here right now, it's telling me, hey, there actually aren't 20 lineups that have seven players different from the positive ROI lineups that are remaining, right? There's actually only 18, which is number in my lineups is showing. So that means I need to go backwards, right? If I want to play 20 positive ROI lineups with this much diversification, I can't be at seven. I have to go to six, right? So then I change it to six. Now I have the same number in my lineups and lineups, and then I could just roll with this, right? So that's why I think the ROI one is good. The projection one, this is one I've seen be a factor in post-contest sim ROIs, right? So like when we're going back and looking at past contests, right? When we're going saying, okay, you know, I know how I did in my lineups actually did, you know, I won, I lost, But like, how does SaberSim think my lineups do overall, right? Because sometimes you can enter really good lineups and still lose. And that kind of like sucks, right? If you guys ever like played like No Limit Texas Hold'em, right? Sometimes you just like trap somebody and you make like a really good bet and they get all in, and then you're a huge favorite, and like maybe like a card comes on the river and you end up losing, right? And you were, you know, a big favorite to win. Like, does that mean you made a bad play? No, but you still lost, right? So it's kind of like that line of thinking, right? That's kind of what Contest Flashback tells you. Like, hey, I lost, but like, did I play this right? Or did I actually play this wrong? That's what we're using Flashback for. And in studying lineups and doing the build review show, you know, we used to do it every day. Now, then we went to 2 days a week. Now we're at 1 day a week this time of year. I've seen that projection, or we call it sim average score in the Flashback, actually does matter. And so we want to keep that floor kind of higher. And one way I've found to do that is to just chop off, I call it like trimming the fat off my pool, chopping off like the lowest 10-ish percent of projected lineups. We're like, hey, maybe they're good, but usually the lower projected lineups are playing lower projected owned players. You kind of have to think, well, what if these players come in slightly higher owned? Then the ROI of that lineup can be so fragile because it's dependent on the ROI of the players being perfectly true, right? So sometimes those lineups with low ownership, I call it like ROI fragility, right? You want to be conscious of that. So sometimes just getting rid of them can help, and then it could just guard you, and then it could also help your post contest sim ROI too. So that's why I recommend the projection one. You know, the owner, when we start to talk about ownership, we talk about some ownership and product ownership and all those things, that all really comes down to, are players playing the exact same lineups as other players, and do I need to be aware of lineup duplication, right? So if this was NBA Showdown, like, yes, absolutely, you know, players are having very high average duplicates, and I want to guard myself against lineups that are going to be very, very popular, right? So that's kind of where like some ownership, product ownership stuff comes into play. In my experience in MLB, you don't see it that often. I haven't seen it that often, even on smaller slates, but it's always good to check. So I would be worried about like 3 games, 2 games, you know, MLB Showdown, right? That's where I would like start to think about other filters. But primarily, you know, projection, ROI, those tend to matter in my experience. All right, looks like Chris is playing some MLB Showdown tonight. So it feels good to know us Southern California guys are hitting. It's getting hot here. The weather's hitting too. All right, close to hitting 17.5. Wells just needed a home run. Ooh, that's crazy. Yeah, I played the showdown yesterday and took Yamamoto captain, and that didn't work out for me, but it's okay. That happens. All right. Chokehold him, said, being going four uniques, is that diverse enough for 20 max? I see you did six or seven. Yeah, that was just kind of an example. I was trying to push this to the maximum because I was trying to show an example where my last lineup ended up being negative ROI. But as far as like uniques go, right? So like we have our ROI filter on. Let's get rid of this minimum one. I don't generally use this. All right. So the way I'm thinking about, you know, okay, what is the right number of uniques, right? This is effectively the question, you know, and what I would do, right? So I get to this point, I have my sorting metric correct. I have my ROI filter on. I have the number of lineups I need. Say I'm building 20 lineups. I like to use a projection and ROI aggregate metrics. This is basically averaging the projection and ROI of all of your lineups together. So it's giving you a snapshot, not just of one lineup, but all of your 20 lineups, okay? This gives you a good idea of, hey, when I start making changes, what effect are they having on my lineups as a whole, the strength of my portfolio, right? If you're taking like a, they're only as strong as your weakest link type of approach, right? Okay. So I started to bump up my uniques, noting these values, right? 97.6 projection, 38% ROI. Okay. Well, two barely changes, right? 37% ROI. Okay. That seems good. At three uniques, we're still in the 97 range. We're down like a 0.5 projection, but ROI is still holding pretty high. Okay. Seems pretty good. Okay. I get to four. Still good. Not that much has changed. You know, if we can get to more diverse lineups without sacrificing very much in terms of projection and ROI, that is a really good thing to do. Okay. So we've gone from one unique to five, which remember, this means that every lineup in my set of 20 has at least this many players different from every other lineup. That's good, right? Because when this is, when your lineups are highly correlated, your lineups are going to be bunched together, right? In the standings. Like if this is like your standings, right? They're going to be like all on the left. They're going to be all in the middle, or they're going to be all on the right. When they're all on the right, that's great, right? You're winning money, all those things. But what it does do is it leads to higher negative ROI days. You know, you end up losing, and then a lot of your lineups end up losing, right? When you're diversifying, you're going to see your lineups like more spread out through the standings. Like, yeah, you're going to have some of them back, but then, you know, they're going to kind of be spread out all the way across. And that ends up being a good thing, right? That helps you to avoid such terrible days. And then if, you know, some guy gets hurt, some guy, you know, gets ejected, or like I saw like Tyler Soderstrom got ejected in like his second at bat yesterday or something like that. You know, you guard yourself like against some of those things, like, okay, those lineups might be dead, but I got a bunch of other lineups that are well diversified that don't have those players, and you know, these ones are still alive, right? So far this five uniques feels really good. I'm gonna go to six, and I don't hate this, right? I think we were at six earlier. So we started with 38% ROI. We're down to 27%, and we were at 97.6 projection, and we're at 96.5. So we've sacrificed about 1 point projection. We've sacrificed a little less than 10% ROI. But now we go and we look at like our batters, right? We're taking So I'm just going to ignore him for now, but like no batter in more than like 35% of our lineups. All of this leverage is like 15, 19, 17, right? So nothing too crazy there. And then over on the pitcher side, you know, it's pretty normal to be a little bit more concentrated at the pitcher. The ownerships get higher too. Okay, well, like we're on Flaherty, which he kind of makes sense because we're taking this big stand on Detroit, right? And then there is, you know, potential win bonuses, right? I think it's like 6 points on FanDuel, 4 points on DraftKings that the pitchers get when they get a win, right? So the batters do good, that helps the pitcher. If pitcher does good, you know, more likely to get a win. So the Detroit correlation here is very visible with the lineups, and I think it's warranted. So I would be okay with the bigger stand on Flaherty, smaller stand on Ryan. you know, there is no right number in uniques, right? You got to kind of adjust this and then use your other data points, the exposure, the leverage, the aggregate metrics that we recommend. Use these to figure out where should I stop. And then sometimes, you know, you also have to remember the number of lineups you're playing is going to have a big impact on that, right? Okay, I'm building 20 lineups and I built 500, but what if I'm building 150 and I have 500, right? You got to think about your lineup to pool ratio. 20 to 500 is what? 25 to 1. So for every lineup I need, I have 25 lineups to choose from because 25 times 20 is 500. If I need 150 out of 500, my lineup to pool ratio is closer to 3 to 1, right? I need one lineup for three. Well, now I'm going to be able to get way less diversification. We can just show this, right? So we were at 6 uniques for 20 and then at 150 lineups. So I don't even think I had 150 positive ROI here. So I turned this off. But I just want to show like in a, but yeah, I mean, I guess like you'd think about this as just like one unique, right? So this just goes to show, and I think it's because we did a single entry contest, right? If this was like a big 20 max or something like that, the ROIs would be different. But because we were talking about single entry, we see like the big disparity here. Maybe it'd have been better to go like to three lineups. Like, okay, what if I need 3 out of 500, right? Before I got to 6 uniques with 20, you know, how high can I get with 3? And then maybe I try 9, right? And then I turn on this ROI one again. Okay, so when I need 3 lineups, I can get to 9. Can I get to 10? I cannot get to 10. So I think this is a little bit better example for a single entry contest sim, where with 3 lineups, I can get to 9 uniques. With 20 lineups, I can get to 6, right? And then that's gonna scale. But that's the big thing there. So really good question. Tyler said, does SaberSim default to not playing pitchers against each other, or is there a setting we have to change? We do not default to not letting pitchers pitch against each other. I would be wary of this. I would voice caution. You know, I think it's okay to play pitchers against each other. You know, we see pitcher duels, you know, so that thing does happen. I think this like last weekend was a good example where Cincinnati and Chicago were playing in Chicago and there was like really good pitching weather and you could have like just played Cincinnati and Chicago pitchers against each other and done well, especially there was like a 2-game slate where it was like Cincinnati, Chicago and the A's in Toronto. And like all the runs came from the A's in Toronto and like barely any from Cincinnati, Chicago. So you could avoid this though, right? If you want to set a rule, you go to add new rule. You say group auto, use no more than one group by game. And then you click the pitchers. So a rule like this would basically say, hey, use no more than one pitcher per game on the slate in my lineups. Okay. So that's what that would look like. And then just while we're on that topic, there is a default rule in the rules that you have to turn on that says don't use batters against opposing pitchers, right? So this one's probably a good one. I'd recommend using regularly. No reason to play a batter against a pitcher. They're super highly negatively correlated. And only time I would consider that is on super small slates, 2-gamers. 2-gamers are pretty interesting. I would definitely leave it on that. 3-gamers, it gets kind of close. But those are my thoughts there. Ryan said, Andrew, what is your process when you see some potential overlay? Do you just play one lineup and enter any contest that overlay or try to enter multiple lineups? Oh, man. I'm going to get called out here. Dude, when I see overlay, it depends on the contest in question. And it'll depend on how many lineups I'm playing. No, I think that's actually better and a truer answer. You know, if I see a contest is going to overlay, but maybe I'm only playing 10 entries that day. You know, I might just enter those 10 lineups into that contest. I'm not typically going back and building more lineups just because it gets kind of sketchy, right? Like, because you're mostly looking at overlay in like the last like 5 minutes leading up to the slate lock. And, you know, if you don't have enough time to reserve your entries, re-import to SaberSim, rebuild your lineups, like it can get like, oh my God, like time crunch, I'm going to like not get my entries in, and then maybe you don't get as strong of entries as you like might have wanted. So for me, mostly relies on like how many lineups am I playing? But like, let's say you had like 150 lineups. Okay, well then I would just like come up with like a dollar amount that like you want to play. Like, okay, yeah, this contest is going to overlay, but like I really only want to play like an extra $10. Like, okay, then just enter that many more lineups. You know what I mean? If it's $1, then you just enter 10, you know, and you're cool with that. Like, don't stretch your bankroll like super far just because there's overlay. Like, overlay is great, but you know, you still got to beat the other lineups in your contest, right? So just be careful. But overlay hunting, very good thing to do. HC said, any way to match exposure to pool how we can with ownership, or do we just have to adjust manually? Thanks. There is not a match exposure to pool option after your pool generates. You would, how could you do this? You would probably just have to do it manually. I think the big problem is like when somebody's building three lineups, right? Like sometimes, you know, I can't get to all of these pitchers, right? I can technically only get to six pitchers, and that's if I used every pitcher once, right? I would do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. A couple pitchers I can't even get to. You know, maybe I want to use Flaherty in more than one lineup. So it would make sense if you had like 150, right? But there's just not a perfect way to do it at the moment. So you would have to do it manually. All right. A lot of good questions today. Appreciate you guys tuning in on this Monday. Good luck to all of you in your slates tonight. I will see you tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.